How do Hollywood stuntmen survive the car crashes, exploding buildings, and conflagrations they film? My guest Kevin Conley found out while researching his book about stuntmen called The Full Burn. He also learned why they don't always survive. Conley previously joined us on Fresh Air to talk about his book Stud, Adventures in Breeding. One of the more impressive movie stunts Conley witnessed was the culmination of a car chase scene at the end of The Bourne Ultimatum. The stunt lasts less than 15 seconds on film, but it took a full day to shoot.
The stunt coordinator, second unit director, Dan Bradley, had been dreaming of this stunt for years, and as he explained it, it was essentially a skateboard grind. But what is doing that skateboard grind is the cop car holding Matt Damon, and what he's grinding on is a traffic divider under the Brooklyn Bridge. And the way it was done was quite amazing. They emptied everything out of the car and balanced it on the traffic divider and had the cop car hooked to a cable some 70 yards away. And that cable was rigged to a device that could pull it at 60 miles an hour within a split second, and the trailing car, which was holding a real live stuntman, was going to accelerate. When he reached a certain point, the effects man would trigger that cable, the car would grind along the traffic divider, slam into a truck on the other side of the traffic divider, fly into the air, hit the trailing car, and the trailing car would then tumble down the street.
So how did they do it? What were some of the tricks?
Well, one of the big tricks to make sure that Scott was safe was that they had taken out the actual driver's seat and extended the steering wheel and the brakes and accelerator so that he was driving from the back seat. And they put a roll cage around him in the back seat, and that allows the whole driver's seat to be smashed by the car, which it indeed was. And, of course, in the movie, it looks like Matt Damon is driving the car as it's grinding along this traffic divider. But, in fact, sitting behind the wheel is a Matt Damon dummy whose arm eventually fell off during the stunt. That's interspliced with shots against a green screen where they'll drag the car a short distance, and they'll actually film Damon in the car. So the impression is entirely convincing that it's Damon in the car as you're watching it. Of course, you're not really thinking about that because it's such a tremendous and unprecedented stunt.
So what are considered to be the riskiest types of stunts now?
Well, of course, the whole idea is to try to avoid doing anything risky, and it's to give the illusion of risk. But a lot of the stuntmen seem to think that the riskiest part of the business is human error. It's often the unpredictable, unforeseen that gets you in trouble. And so a lot of the time on the set, they're trying to anticipate every possible thing that could go wrong. And behind many of the deaths, there is the story of something that could have been anticipated. Vic Rivers drove a car off a bridge, rolled his car in the water, came out safely, but he was so dizzy that he fell down and they couldn't find him in the muddy water. And so he drowned. And sometimes they even seem to be ironic. Dar Robinson, one of the greatest stuntmen of all time, Mel Gibson's double through much of the Lethal Weapon series, had done an amazing stunt where he drove straight into a guardrail and then tumbled down a rocky hillside. It had gone off perfectly. They had sent home the ambulance, and he was doing a little routine B-roll coverage, and his motorcycle slipped, and he fell down the same rocky hill, and they couldn't call the ambulance back in time to save him.
Wow.
These are the stories that keep stunt coordinators up all night, because many times it's the unanticipated small thing that kills somebody instead of the tremendous risk.
You know, it was interesting reading your book about being on the set of contemporary movies where they do all these incredible stunts that they couldn't have done in the early days of movies. It was interesting to learn that one of the most respected stunts and dangerous stunts in the history of movies goes back to the era of the Western. And this was a stunt in the John Ford movie Stagecoach done by Yakima Canutt. Why don't you describe the stunt and why it's considered to be among the most dangerous in film history?
He did the same stunt in three movies, and I think the most famous one was in Stagecoach. And they were all versions of the same gag, as stuntmen call the work they do, a gag. He rode on his own, on horseback, up to a stagecoach, jumped off his horse, over the horse team, landed on the hitch in between the two rows of horses. Then, depending on the movie, he either fought someone on that hitch and fell down, or got shot and fell down, or somehow he ends up falling between the two running horses. Now, they're going about 25 to 35 miles an hour, and he's not wearing a helmet. He's maybe got a cowboy hat on that maybe stays on his head, and he slides between the two rows of racing horses under the stagecoach. In the most famous versions, he catches on to the back of the coach, then clambers up over and gets in a fist fight with the driver of the stagecoach.
So many opportunities to be killed in that. Killed by the horses, killed by the stagecoach.
I think everyone seems to agree that it's having your head so close to the hooves of the horses that makes that the scariest stunt. It's only been done once more in film history, and that's another equally famous stunt. That was done by an equally famous stuntman, Terry Leonard, who did it in a movie called The Legend of the Lone Ranger, and then repeated the version in a much less frightening way for the movie The Raiders of the Lost Ark, where he was doubling Harrison Ford and went underneath a truck, over the top of the truck, back in to have the fist fight with the driver.
Now, you write about Hollywood stunt women, too, and some of the unique situations that they face. You write about Zoe Bell, a stunt woman who worked with Quentin Tarantino in Kill Bill as Uma Thurman's stunt double, and she was in Death Proof, where she played a stunt woman. Quentin really...
She played Zoe Bell, a stunt woman.
Right, right,
right. Quentin Tarantino fell in love with this idea of a character who is exactly like Zoe Bell. And she's really quite uncensored and funny, very charming.
What's her most famous stunt?
The final chase in Death Proof is jaw-dropping. She is a stunt woman, and she is goofing off, essentially, and riding on the hood of the car when they're attacked by this dark figure, and played by Kurt Russell, and who proceeds to try to ram her off the hood of the car for miles. And the chase scene goes on for probably 20 minutes of running time. It's one of the most operatic of chase scenes ever filmed.
What are the precautions in the movie to protect Zoe Bell?
She's wearing a pretty tight-fitting outfit, you know, some tight jeans and a T-shirt, but she has a harness that's under her pants that have a cable that hold her to the hood of the car. The cable is threaded through a tiny hole in the center of the hood, and then that runs under the car, and it can be adjusted from a winch in the back seat. So she can have enough play to kind of slide around wildly and hang almost off the front grill of the car, or she can be tethered quite tightly for faster scenes where she might be whipped about more.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Kevin Conley. We're talking about his new book, The Full Burn, which is about Hollywood stuntmen. Now, you point out in your book that stuntmen in the early days of movies used to come out of rodeos and circuses, and you know, a lot of the stunts were in Westerns. Where do stuntmen come from now?
Well, first of all, they come from the championship ranks of many, many sports. A lot of the sports that they have been champions in are sports that take a tremendous amount of skill but don't have a lot of money so they could arrive at the pinnacle of their sport and say, well, I'm 20, I'm 25, I've gotten as far as I can go here. How can I earn money for my family? And at that point, they wind up in the films. They could be the, you know, a gold medal winner in Taekwondo, or a top-ranked street luger, or a champion wakeboarder. There are things like this where you think, how am I going to live? And maybe they have contacts in the stunt business, and they wind up doing quite well for themselves. Of course, once they get in the business, they have to expand their repertory beyond their fairly impressive but limited repertoire of stunts. So a lot of guys will come in and they'll be great at the high fall because they were once cliff divers. And then along the way, they'll pick up stunt driving, or they'll learn the particulars of how to set yourself on fire. And a lot of the best stuntmen come from motorcycle sports. And I think that has largely to do with the fact that motorcycle riders know the balance of their body, sense automatically the balance of their body in relationship to a machine.
You have a fabulous author photo in the dust jacket of your book about Hollywood stuntmen. And the photo is of you. You're holding your arms out to the side of your body. And your arms and your back and your legs are in flames, big flames. You have been set on fire. And this is one of the stunts that you tried for yourself. So what did it take to set yourself on fire without dying in the process?
What it took was five fully certified stuntmen to start off with. I felt great confidence going in because I knew that these guys were absolutely safe. The one who was running it for me, Dan Bradley, was the second unit director of the Bourne Ultimatum and the Bourne Supremacy. And that really allowed me to sleep the night before I was going to set myself on fire. The technical maneuvers that helped me survive, the main invention is a fire retardant gel, a kind of rubber cement-like goo that you slather over all your exposed skin, and that will protect you for several seconds, and that will allow you to catch it on film. I was on fire probably a total of 15 seconds at the longest. And I also wore a NASCAR-style fire suit, and I had some skin-colored gloves on my hand that were dipped in that cold fire retardant gel, so it looks a little bit like my actual hands are out there, but in fact I've got these gloves. The invention of fire retardant gel has helped make fire gags much more realistic. It used to be that you'd wear these kind of hazmat suits and full burns had to be filmed from far away. But now you can just take the character's outfit, drench it with this icy cold fire retardant gel, and put it on. Once you put it on, if you're the stuntman, you're like begging them to set you on fire because it's very cold. And that you can use the character's clothing has allowed them to film much closer. So you see slimmer stuntmen doing real human maneuvers in actual clothing now, and they're fully on fire.
Well, Kevin Conley, thank you so much for talking with us.
Terry, thanks for having me on.
Kevin Conley's book about stuntmen is called The Full Burn. You can download podcasts of our show on our website, freshair.npr.org.